2. Okay, honey. KK4 JBQ.
UE, so yeah, you're right. It's this particular case, though, you know, doing machine work or counting money, yeah, that it matters. But with this, it's the problem comes in, you know, a dollar is a dollar. It don't matter what you do, it's always going to be a dollar. what you hold in your hand will be. But with this, the problem comes in, you do the math to determine how much you need, but when the environment changes, then the math kind of goes out the window. So it's kind of just a base. So it's kind of like, let's pretend it's Monday morning and you got a $20 bill in your hand. And then now it's Tuesday morning, a different day, and it's cloudy, and you got the same $20 bill in your hand. Well, it's worth the same amount as it was on Monday, regardless of whether the sun is out or not. This is different because the environment changes. I don't always have full sun. There's shaded panels, and then cloudy, and then thunderstorms, and so, you know, I've got it sized right for AGM, because there's, you know, I have to do certain work with the batteries during the day that I can't do at night, and I have to cycle the pumps during the day. I don't have running water, but I do have a holding tank, and I'll pull out of the holding tank outside to run through filtration and into a holding tank inside. And see, I don't do that at night because that pump pulls 10 amps for about 30 minutes. Well, that's a chunk of my power right there. If I do that at night with what I need at night. So I do that in peak hours. And the controller I got is kind of neat. You can program it to do things for you at a certain time. And I just never have really set it up, but so I'm just saying that I enjoy the management piece of it. It's very intriguing to know that. Okay, I like working with nothing and trying to make it work. And that's kind of what's happening here. And I think that my expectations were a little bit higher with these lithium. I wasn't counting on the BMS. It's kind of disappointed me a little bit. I mean, I like what the battery does, but because they're so expensive and comes with a warranty, you know, they send them with the BMS, and I don't like that, and I can't turn it off. So I don't know. I'm gonna keep working with it and see. Now that I got my panel straightened out, we'll see. But if I wake up in the dark one more time, that's it. They're going to the scrapyard or something, because I'm just not gonna deal with that. It's too dark down here.
Yes, I can understand. I can really understand, because when it's dark in the woods, and I mean, all you got is starlight. And even if the sky is full of stars and it's clear, it's not enough to read by. any flashlight that's local, you know, is going to be brighter than starlight. Yeah, there's nothing like being out in the woods like that. It's been a very long time since I've found myself out under a starlit sky. And the light pollution, you know, it's very real. If you they've got any reference, and a lot of people don't, you know, have a reference of what a really dark sky looks like, then I can take a walk and not have to wonder about my steps with the amount of light pollution that we have around the city here. I live close to Pelham Road and the Parkway, if you know where that intersection is. Maybe not. Around here, people, that's kind of a signpost that people look for. How far are you away from Pelham Road, you know, on this side of the city? But I could walk no problem, even if there were no streetlights. The light pollution is pretty great. But when you're, nothing can replace the way it makes you feel to be under a starlit sky. I mean, it's small. It's tiny. You're made to feel tiny. But that's really where you ought to be. It's not a matter of, well, it is a matter of perception. But if you perceive yourself as being great, you will be constantly disappointed in this world. That's what I've figured out. We're rather small in our concerns and our business, so to speak, is small compared to what's around us. And I've come to terms with that. I really have. And it's like finding a different place, you know. I think age has done that. It's been something you got to live with. You'll finally get there if you live. And when you find yourself there, and you'll know when the change comes, when you start to realize that you're really small, and your concerns and your hopes and your dreams and all that, well, they were yours. And the fact is that everybody's got another set that belongs to them, you know, a set of dreams and a set of expectations. And what comes along with it. But being under a sky and being able to see the way we are, you know, we're broad-sided in the spiral arm of our galaxy where we are. The Milky Way, one of the arms of the Milky Way is clearly visible. And you get some idea of the scale. It's kind of scary. KK4JBQ.
UE, yeah, well, it is dark down here, and darkness doesn't bother me, but I mean, there's a couple of black bears hanging around here. And you got darkness, that's one thing, but when you got the fog bank that moves in, because you're right here on the river, and it's dark, and then you got big animals that, you know, that tore my truck up and been clawing at the door, you know, not while I'm in the cabin, but, and, you know, just where they're just curious. And then I got two bobcats that scream like dying women every other night. And, you know, your mind starts playing tricks on you. And then you hear things you can't explain. And then, well, that must be the lizard man, you know. So you got a lot of things to contend with. And hearing them noises at 2:30 in the morning and expecting the lights to come on, and they don't come on, No, I ain't gonna do that. I built the system to work and do what I wanted it to do, and I had it perfect. It was exactly what I wanted. And then I changed to a different kind of battery, and it's just, I either got to redesign portions of the system or just go back to what I had. And I'm thinking I may go back to what I had, because, you know, some things you can't plug into a mathematical formula. And that's the problem with that, is for some things it's going to change. You don't have much flexibility. If the BMS is going to turn me off at 12.2 volts regardless, I mean, I'm thinking, hey, I got 12.2 more volts I can do something with. It's not letting me do that, so I might have to let them go. You know, you're gonna do what I designed you to do, or you got to go, right?
as you were talking, I didn't find any fault in your rationale, but I do find fault with your expectations. So it's made of several factors, but you can just call it capacity. At the working voltage that would be required to satisfy. Now that's very ambiguous, but let's just talk in that way rather than numbers with decimal points. No. Just what are your expectations? And it would seem that the expectations are not being met with the current design. Now, how can you reasonably? And I would, you know, just when you're thinking about it like this, in a, you know, very open way, you don't put dollar signs on it yet. And, you know, of course, you've already got dollar signs that in accounting they call it sunk cost. You've already spent the money. It's sunk. I always like that. And Donna and I have of course, she's an accountant, and I talk about sunk cost, and I say it just that way, you know, sunk cost. And she knows I poke her a little bit that way. Well, it's already spent, and if it's going to be used at all, it has to be used wisely, or it's not going to satisfy over a period of time. You don't use those batteries, that chemistry, till they drop 4 volts from their optimum charge. They drop 4 volts, and, you know, they're gone. But it goes back to capacity. As I said, it goes back to capacity. So how do you put capacity into a battery? Well, it's output from a generating, from the generation side. You generate voltage, put it in at what rate? You know, there's a maximum rate you can put it in. If you haven't reached that, I don't imagine. So if you've got one panel, I can't see, you know, what I'm referring to here, so you have to, you know, be patient with me. But if you're working with one panel and the BMS can manage twice the input amperage per hour at whatever voltage it's controlling, it can take twice that amperage, then put another panel in. And I know, and I've got a panel myself, it's a small portable one, folds up, easy to carry in a backpack. And I was cautioned when I studied up on that thing that I had to be careful how it was how it was oriented toward the sun. Because if you put that thing, you have to lean it, you know. So there's some loss of the gathering power of the thing if you put it at an angle. But it has to be at an angle, or it was flat, laying flat on the ground. And that would require a clear open sky. Well, that's great, but if you're putting it on a roof, it kind of sounds like that, then it's going to be at some angle. And the roof doesn't turn with the sun as it goes by. And so you plan all that stuff and go out there and every hour. Now, this sounds crazy, but to get the maximum amount of solar power, you move the panel to be directly bathed by the sun. You know, it all sounds so crazy when you think about it. Those are the elements that you're working with. The sun is moving, and if the panel is left with any portion of it in shadow, it decreases. Now, the output voltage is going to be the same, but it's not providing as much charge. That's another way to put it, I guess. It's going to be at its maximum voltage, but it's not going to be as much charge. So if you had a bigger panel, or if you had several panels, could move with the sun. You see what I mean? It's complicated. KK4, JBQ.
For NUE, it is complicated. I've got two of the panels I have four panels, 200 watts apiece, 12-volt panels, and two of them are right at solar noon. So the way you do that is the sun moves through the sky on an arc, which when your sunlight hits the array, it's not always going to be direct because you get the most amount of energy absorption or transfer when the sun is directly, you know, perpendicular to the sun. So the way you do that is you count on your math to absorb the most sun at solar noon, because at solar noon, it's kind of weird. When it's at the highest position in the sky, you can get a little bit longer soak time because the angle doesn't matter as much at that position. And the way you find that is you lay a disc on the panel. I use can of dip. Just put a can of dip on it and look at the shadow that's casted off of the disc onto the array. And you adjust the array so that there's no shadow. And that lets you know that you're directly in line with the sun. And voltage jumps, amperage jumps way up. So you're right, it does matter. And I had all that figured out with the AGMs, and I just say I've got everything working again, and I evidently had a lightning strike close by that knocked the charge controller offline, damaged one of the diodes. So I've got all that back online, but I don't know if I'm gonna be able to do this or not, but I'm gonna give it a fair shot, see what happens. What it's doing is making me manage a whole lot closer. And I don't want to do that if I don't have to, you know, because it's restricting. You know, I want to be, what I'm learning is, you know, you got a battery that's able to be flexible. You can be flexible. And I can go do other things. But if you got one that's this tight on voltage, I've got to sit and babysit with it. So it's not just providing what it's voltage or being able to turn the lights on. It's not just that. It's, you know, I rely on that flexibility with AGM so I can dip if I need to dip into the lower voltages. But with this, if it's just going to be on or off, that's off. When it's off, that's telling me, hey, that's where I could be flexible and doing, you know, other things. I can go fishing, or I can go hunting, or go get on Bobcat, or, you know, I got to sit with a battery to make sure it's got most voltage during the day because it's not flexible. That can be supper because I'm catching fish up here in the pond. You see what I'm saying? So it's not just about voltage.
I see what you're saying. And it is, well, I suppose this is a big life lesson. And even us older folks have got to, for every once in a while, recheck our life lessons and adjust our expectations, I suppose. So that's all. If you like working on things, fine-tuning things, and a lot of people don't, you know. But if you like that sort of thing, it keeps your brain working on the issue, even when you don't think you are. Subconsciously, I think we do. Because the next time you actually come up against it, it could be that you just something comes to your mind. That's happened to me. And I didn't know where this was coming from. But it's because I had this, some part of my brain was working on it, I suppose. And this is important to you. And you will solve this issue, whether it's adding more batteries or more panels. it is disappointing you. I mean, that's clear. But and the reason I think it's clear, it's not just one thing. The reason that it's disappointing you is not just one thing. It's several things. Some of them are things you can work with, and others are things you can't work with, and some are things you'd rather not work with. All of that stuff is present at the same time. And then you have to always, you're reminded constantly, I'm sure, that you've already put money in this. And that will have an effect on a person. Because every time we spend a dollar, we have expectations. And that's reasonable most of the time if we've made a good choice. But if we haven't made a good choice, maybe, as you said earlier, you have to drop back to using the heavier batteries, just to refer to by their least desirable characteristic. They are heavy. I've got a little battery that's, goodness, I mean, I could put it in a coffee can. Well, I don't know how much that coffee can over there holds, but I could put that battery in that coffee can. That's what's in my automobile. I don't know why they did that. I suppose because the engine compartment will only take a certain size, I mean, physical size of battery. And so they put a little old battery in there. Here again, I suppose I could put two batteries in there, side by side, and wire them up so that a little bit is going to each one of those batteries and is charging it up. But fact is, it doesn't remain charged enough to be reliable because I don't drive the vehicle very much. So my expectations, they have changed. And so that's another slider that you can use. You can change your expectations, whether you, it may not feel right to you because you've got the money and there's the one thing, it keeps coming back, doesn't it? So I hope you, I have listened to, and I would recommend this if you haven't done this already, there are several YouTube videos put on by a couple of very, well, what you're tuning into there, I'll just explain it this way. It's an amateur radio club that has invited someone in to come in and talk about portable use of batteries and the whole gamut. And there's one I found, and I've listened to it three times now because it's information I can't readily hold for very long. If you don't use information, it slips away. But the fellow does such a good job that, and you can take notes, of course, and refer to it with, hang on a second. VQ, I got a notice on my watch, which is confusing me. My watch seems to have having a hard time maintaining what? Connection with what? modern problems. KK4JBQ.
Boy, in UE, it's that lithium battery. That's exactly what it is. That or the handy talkie or radio you're on. An RF might be affecting the communication with the phone. I know it's what happens with the... I don't have to turn the... I've got a TV down here. I'm running off of the panels. And I got me a little antenna I put up. I've been using my 2-meter antenna for the TV antenna with a switch. I'll switch back and forth when I watch TV, y'all. You know, 2-meter antenna. I get 13 channels on it. Well, I went broke down and bought one the other day and put it up. So now I get 64 channels. And I don't have to mute the TV because when I talk on the radio, because when I key the radio, if I run the RF power up on the radio to 31 watts. That's Yaesu. I got 50 available on 2-meter. 31 watts, it scrambles the TV, pretty much. I know it's probably not good for it, but it mutes it. So I don't have to find a remote. I don't have to, you know, turn the TV down if I want to talk on the radio. I just turned the power up on radio a little bit, 31 watts, and that scrambles the TV so no sound comes out. And when I let the PTT button off, the TV comes right back. So it's win-win. So I don't know what's going on with the watch, but I'd say it's probably RF or that lithium battery pack in the back. KO4NUE.
Well, yes. KK4JBQ. Well, it's fascinating. And I know it's frustrating also. If you try to draw it out on paper and understand it, that could be helpful. But if you tried that already and you know, just be aware that you can plug in more batteries. That could be good money after bad. That's one way some people might think. Or because it solves the problem. See, you're, the amperage in a battery is like the level of water in a glass. And I always thought of, since I was a little boy and first, because I'm, you know, my dad had some barrels around the place, and he'd use those barrels for whatever was in them, you know. And he used them as examples, and he'd say, well, if I tap that in another place, he'd say, then it would draw down, and I've got the original hole, and it was about a third of the way down. Got that original hole, but if I want to draw more out of it, I'm not concerned about filling it up just yet. I'm drawing more out of it. I can put the hole lower, and it'll come out. Well, that's directly analogous to amperage, the available amperage within a battery. And no device is going to use more amperage than it can use. That's why you can plug various things into the same AC outlet in your house. They have different requirements to operate. And the device itself, well, actually, physics regulates that. But electricity is fascinating, the way it does that. But if you're not drawing from a big enough barrel, just to feel comfortable talking about it, you know, then a bigger barrel, putting out the same amount of voltage for a longer period of time. But then you would then obligate yourself to increase the charge rate, because maybe you're not charging it as quickly as it can put energy into your batteries. And it's sort of like riding a horse. And, you know, in that case, is it, how much can you control that? Well, I can ride a horse. I did a bunch of that and I loved it, and I got to know a lot of different horses. They are, you know, different creatures, like humans, in a way, in that way. And I enjoyed them. But then I got on a horse once that ran away with me. I didn't know it. I didn't know its history. And it nearly killed me. That horse nearly killed me. Took me out. It could have taken me out into traffic. Because this, you know, where I was riding was very near a highway. And it was a busy highway. And I saw that highway coming up. And I just, you know, I tried my last, you know, I didn't have long to think about this, so I just took the horse and pulled its head, just took a rein and pulled its head into my leg. Now, the horse can't do anything but go around and around in a circle. And it stopped. KK4JBQ.
I'll figure it out. I do have a question for you, though. We talked about a week and a half ago on the net, and you were complaining about my signal. It was, if I recall, it was pretty annoying, and I have had that issue since. Since I've got my license, I fixed the cabin up before that, but I've always had a signal issue here. There's always been some kind of noise on my signal. sometimes worse than others. And the last time we talked, about a week and a half ago, you were really complaining about it. So that would have been on the AGMs. So I'm on lithium tonight, and give me a signal report.
I'll just put it this way: it's rock solid signal. It doesn't vary. I do have, you know, some fans here, very close. This radio's fan, and I have a fan on the laptop, which gets mighty hot just sitting there cooking. So I suppose I could turn that off. But what I think I'm hearing, any sound at all, is generated here in my shack. Your signal is quiet and strong and consistent. And I would expect it to be. Because until you pull that battery down to a level below its ability to operate the radio, if your radio is running on the battery right now, it's going to be optimum. Now, I could tell you with the meters here that this is running at between 11.9 and 12.6. And about 9 amps. You can do that all night long because it's being replenished. It's being charged and it's being discharged at the same time. That's the usual situation. But in night time, in night operation, it's not recharging as you're pulling it down, so it's just a constant drain. So it'll drain quicker when it's being asked to provide a greater amperage. And if it's not being recharged, it'll just cut off. You know, there may be an alert, an alarm, perhaps not. But I wouldn't hope to squeeze out any more. Now with a lead acid battery, you can squeeze out a little bit more. But you take it down to below 10 volts, and you're harming the battery. Its ability to charge is affected at that point. And that's what the BMS is doing for you. It's protecting the battery so that its ability to hold an amount of power is not affected when it's being protected like that. So the design, there's a fault in the design. The fault is very likely an understanding of the environment that it finds itself. Excuse me, the environment that it finds itself. It's probably very likely because you're in the woods. If you're not totally open to the sky and the angle of, and the panels are not following the angle of the sun, then you're not getting optimum charge rate. And so, you know, and then it goes away when there's a cloud moving over. And certainly it goes away entirely when night comes on. So you have some unrelenting conditions that are boundaries for you, and those have to be, you know, judiciously accounted for, and you're left with numbers. You know, keep beating it with a pencil, you will get the gut feeling that the numbers are really what's limiting you. And until you can work out a systematic way to give a greater amount of sunlight per square inch on your panels for a longer period of time, and then control your use. Control will also work for you. It's a fascinating thing. And I know you like learning stuff, so look at it that way. You're learning every minute of the of your struggle. KK4JBQ.
Yes, KO4NUE. It's a learning curve. You can't even test them. Chris got a load bank up here at the shop, and when it failed on me the other night, I said, "Well, I got one of these brand new batteries. Something's wrong with it. So let me go get load bank and load them up and figure out which one it is. You can't even put a load bank on it because you load it up, you know, three times." Got a little gauge on the load bank, and three times the rated amp hour rating, you run it up to that number, and you got to hold it there for a certain amount of seconds to see if it'll, you know, maintain its curve. You can't do that with these batteries, because as soon as it drops to 12.2, boom, it's off. You can't even get a reading off the load bank. So I don't know. It's about the only advantage I'm seeing right now is I got a pretty clean signal on the radio, and they're lightweight. But I'm not moving them around every day either. Once I get them in the battery compartment, then I don't move them. You know, so. I don't know. I'm going to do what I need to do to keep it from being sunk, I guess. But I don't like all this extra work and lack of flexibility that I've got, you know, and AGM definitely, you know, has given me that. You know, I've had a couple of friends come up here and say, one of the guys I deployed with, he come up here and stayed about 2 weeks. And he don't know anything about solar. You know, I gave him a little quick rundown. Hey, you know, don't, when you get near this voltage, the controller's going to cut you off. And you know, you're going to be in the dark. But, I mean, he just flipped the switch on and stayed up here for about 2 weeks and never had an issue. And like I said, I've never had an issue either. But yeah, I'm just not gonna be able to do that with these batteries. And I mean, I think it's neat that I can connect with the battery via Bluetooth and see what the battery's doing and all that mess. You know, that's kind of neat. But I caught myself today. I logged into the battery, if that's what you want to call it, and was watching it while the arrays were pulling sunlight in, and I sat here for about 30 minutes watching that stupid phone, watching the voltage come up in the battery, and I thought for a minute, and I thought, there's got to be more to life than this. I've been sitting here for 40 minutes watching a battery charge, and I thought it was kind of exciting. That's pretty bad, isn't it?
That depends on your point of view. It's not bad if you are entertaining yourself. That's something people they seek it, they desire it. They're going to have it. You know, their entertainment. I am entertained by the simplest things. And if you're learning something, that could be, you know, if you look at what we're talking about here, you look at that and you say, well, I was learning something. And the enjoyment came from the learning. It didn't come from the you know, the way I was sitting or how long I sat there or the conversation I could have with somebody else with some detail, you know. When you're in a moment, the real value of that is right there and right then. It's not going to be at any other time as clear to you as when it's actually occurring. Later, you may use what you've experienced in a different way. We have a great capacity to learn. And that's affected, to some degree, it's affected by how we individually learn. Some people learn totally from observation. And that can be what any of your senses bring in. And others learn by comparing, because they got a greater bucket full. When I can't think of how to quantify something, I say a bucket full. They have a greater bucket full of experience that they can compare that one event with. But if you can sit and watch something, you know, if you can sit and watch paint dry, that's, to a lot of people, that's boring. But if you're making notations that you would later use for some purpose, then you'd be happy that you were given those few moments at that particular time to do that very thing. Life is, any way you experience life, it is short. It is awfully damn short. You know, to look around and see trees that are thousands of years old. We were never given that chance in our day. I know that's reported to be different at other times in human history. But today, we're not given that kind of time. And I will be, let's see, what day is this? This is Tuesday. On Saturday, I will turn 75. And, well, a good bit of my life is gone. Now, it came and it went. And I've got whatever I could scrape out of it, you know. Everybody should feel that way. You got it scrappy as you could be. You got everything you could get out of it. But I know I let some opportunities pass. And I can forgive myself for that. But I can't make up in any way whatsoever. I can't make up what I let pass by me. So, especially now since I have this point of view, I should, be appreciative of every little thing. Whether it's watching paint dry or talking with somebody on the radio. You know, this feels better than it has ever felt. And the next time we talk, I'll probably think the same way. It'll feel as good as or better than it's ever felt before. Because the time gets precious. More precious. Yeah. So I appreciate your calling. We should do this more often. And you should tell me how the family's doing. KK4JPQ.
K4NUV. Well, let me address the mistakes in life first, I guess. I look at life like a number two pencil. You're born, you get a full-length pencil. You know, no point on it. You got a nice eraser. You got a 9.5-inch brand new pencil. When when I meet my creator, I want to give him his pencil back. No erased stub. I mean, I'm gonna give it back to him at a half an inch long. Teeth marks on the little aluminum ring, no eraser. It's been sharpened so many times. I used it up here. I used what you gave me, and I used it up to the best of my ability. And if you look at it like a pencil, when you make a mistake and you have to sharpen the pencil, eventually, when you sharpen it so many times because of mistakes, there's nothing there to show. I mean, it's obvious that you've made mistakes because the pencil is short and used up. But that's the wonderful thing about forgiveness. It's once you resharpen, you know, the lesson's still there, and it's obvious because the pencil's shorter. But you've ground it all away. You can't see what that is. Everybody knows that it's there. So that's my viewpoint on that. Everything's good. Kids are good. Anna and I went and visited with my grandson last night. Gave him a bath. I was surprised to see how bathtub toys have changed. You know, when our kids were little, they didn't have all this fancy fandangle stuff, you know. He's got a little whale in there, you know, dolphin looking thing that's got a little button on the bottom of it, and it's got a pump on it. You turn it on, set it in the water, and it floats in the water, and it sprinkles water up, you know, about 6-8 inches. He's got an ambulance and a police car and something else in there that's got a, you know, you drop it in the water and it turns on and lights up. One of them's even got a little siren on it, you know. He's got a little shark, you know, you put baby soap in it and add some water and it blows bubbles, and, you know, so he played in the bathtub. And then my son Lewis, he's such a good dad. I mean, my goodness, he throws that child around like a rag doll, and he loves it. He, Wilder, just loves it. I mean, he goes crazy for it, you know. And I'm sitting there looking at it like, son, you do rough with him. But he don't pay him no attention. He just, you know, throws him up in the air, flips him around, and Wilder just, I mean, he just giggles and laughs like it's, you know, the greatest thing in the world. So, and I tried to put him down in rocking chair last night, give him go to sleep. He was not having it. He was not having it at all. So finally, Lewis got up and went in their bedroom. He's got a camera so you can see, you know. They got a little camera so you can log in during the day and see when he's taking a nap or whatnot, you know. And I think that's kind of neat. You see, you know, you log in and take a look at him, see what he's up to, you know. That's kind of neat. But Lewis went in there and told Anna, go to the living room. He's too excited. And I said, I got it. He said, Mama, go in the living room. Let me have it. So he sat in a rocking chair with him and said, you're going to have to be quiet, son. You're going to have to just go down and go to sleep. He poked that lip out and started crying. Lewis said, I don't care. You cry all you want, but you, one way or another, you're going to sleep. He finally gave it up, you know, laid his head down, and about 5 minutes, that was it. He was out. So he listens to Daddy. And daughter's good. Here he's doing well. He's, you know, know, working. He's going back to school. He wants to go finish his degree. I think he wants to teach. I think he wants to be a teacher. I think he wants to teach welding. After the accident, you know, he broke his back during Helene. I think we've kind of come to the realization that there's some limitations there. I think he's dealing with it. But, you know, staying hunched over all day over a TIG welder, that you don't think much about it, but when you got 36 pins in your back, that kind of changes things a little bit. But I think he's going to go back to school and finish his degree up, and I think he wants to teach welding. So I think that'd be a good job for him, and he can pass along what he knows and not have to be hunched over all day. So I think that'd be good for him. Mother-in-law's doing good. She had to, had liver cancer. They took out a portion of her liver, so she's recovering, and Dad's still crotchety. So, as long as he's crotchety, you know everything's good. So, not too many complaints right now. I got a couple that's kind of weighing on me a little bit, but it's working out.